And welcome back to Cornette's Commentary right here on Who's Slamming Who. Today is Tuesday, August the 17th, 2010. After a few week delay, he's back, the man himself, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. James E. Cornette. Jimmy, what's going on, man?
No, I'm here. I'm really here. Tommy, welcome back to you, too. Now, don't put all the blame on me. You missed a week, and I missed 2 weeks, so it's both our faults. But I'm glad to be back on Who's Slamming Who. It's been all kinds of traveling going on here at Castle Cornette. We were down in Charlotte at the NWA Legends Fan Fest for almost a week. I've been back and forth. I've fixed to go to Philly for Ring of Honor television. The Ring of Honor debuts in Charlotte and Richmond, or not debut in Charlotte, return to Charlotte and debut in Richmond, or next weekend, Friday the 27th in Richmond, Saturday the 28th in Charlotte. Just all kinds of stuff going on, but finally we're here to recap some of it.
Yes, sir. I guess let's talk about the Fan Fest that took place a couple weeks back in Charlotte. You got a chance to see a lot of people you haven't seen in quite some time, huh?
Well, it was tremendous. Actually, I got a chance to see Billy Robinson for the first time since like 1983, I think, and got an autograph. Got him to autograph a picture with the CWA World Heavyweight Championship belt that I took of him in Louisville back in 1980. So that was fun. That's going up on the wall. And of course, a highlight of the week was the Hall of Heroes banquet where so many guys were inducted into the Hall of Heroes, and the highlight of that, I believe, was Jim Ross's induction speech of Danny Hodge, which, as you can imagine, was tremendous.
I can imagine.
So if you haven't been to the NWA Legends Fan Fest, you got to go next year for the first time in Atlanta, Georgia, leaving Charlotte, going to Atlanta for a year, back in Charlotte in 2012, but if the Mayan calendar doesn't prove correct, but... it's a great experience and a great chance for people to see all kinds of wrestling memorabilia. Boy, I tell you, Dave Milliken and Rico Mann's belt display this year, they have an actual replica of the old, old belt that Lou Thesz used to wear. That's just so cool. And a good time was had by all, despite the 110-degree heat index all weekend. It was really nice.
Didn't Jim Ross host his own barbecue or something like that, too?
JR's barbecue sauce was being slapped all over ribs and chicken and everything, and JR stopped by on Thursday night, right before my Q&A, to visit with the folks. And, of course, he was also signing autographs and doing things all weekend, so he was quite busy. But there was still a little time for me to catch up with him, so I enjoyed that. Despite not seeing him on television, at least I got to see him in person.
I know Sting was there, too. Did you get an opportunity to see him?
No. I was at my Cornette's Collectibles booth. He was there on Friday morning only. And to be quite honest, I never knew he was there until he was gone. So, golly gee.
Who were some of the other guys there that you enjoyed catching up with?
Well, once again, of course, Sir Oliver Humperdinck was there, Skandor Akbar, Percy Pringle was there. Of course, I just saw him a few months ago at another reunion in Atlanta, but it's always good to see my managerial colleagues. I mean, literally, there was like 100 guys, past and present. I don't want to reel off too many names and leave anybody out, because then they'll get ticked off at me and stretch me next year in Atlanta, but it was fun. And, of course, there's no shortage of controversy. As soon as I come back, Eric Bischoff is running his mouth again, knocking the wrestling fans, insulting them, calling them names, telling them they don't know what they like, or they don't know what they want, and they don't want the right things. And I had to reply to him, Mr. Bischoff, because he claims that, you know, he is the arbitrator of who draws money in professional wrestling. Did you hear about this?
Yes, I did, actually.
My response in a nutshell was, it's the problem of guys like him being in the business that makes nobody a draw these days, because they always blame the talent. But the problem is, when the booking is inefficient, when the companies run incompetently, then nobody draws. So there's Eric Bischoff in his residence in this glass house that he lives in, saying that Ring of Honor guys don't draw money, or these other guys don't draw money, when he's got some of the biggest names of the past 20, 25, even 30 years, including Hulk Hogan, in his company, and they still couldn't sell pussy on a troop train, much less a wrestling ticket. So, I find that humorous. And, oh, and also we got a little viewer mail. I just, you know, not too much, just a little bit here. We're trying to figure out a way, by the way, folks, to do stupid pet tricks here on the program. We haven't figured that out yet. Kind of, you know, audio only kind of takes the fun out of it. But I got a letter from a Cornette's Commentary listener who is currently living in Bangkok, Thailand. His name is Gareth. He's a professor at the University of Bangkok. And he goes on, you know, to basically describe Vince Russo's booking style, because words sometimes fail us when we try to describe that, and I think he's summed it up quite well. You don't need to have a degree education to know that Vince Russo's booking is the equivalent of a sick pig spraying diarrhea all over its trough shortly before having a massive brain aneurysm and dropping down dead in its own feces. However, the irony of this is that the aforementioned event would probably be moderately more enjoyable to watch than a Russo-booked show, because at least the pig was put out of its misery at the end. Moral of the story, pig with diarrhea plus aneurysm greater than Vince Russo's booking. Gareth from Thailand, we appreciate that. I'd like to spend one night in Bangkok along with you and Murray Head sometime, Tommy.
Oh, man. So you want to talk about some things going on in around the world of wrestling or what?
Oh, I guess we could address those issues.
First off, very sad news to report here on Cornette's Commentary this week. I'm sure you heard about the passing of Lance Cade last week at the age of 29 years old. You ever had the opportunity to be around Lance?
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, and, you know, that kind of put a damper on my weekend, obviously, as it did a lot of people. And you know, at this point, you get mad. You get mad at the wrestling business, mad at things in general. Lance worked extensively for us in OVW. He was here for quite some time. He was always a great talent, a great kid, great guy to be around. Helpful. After he went to the WWE, he came back down on a few occasions and had some really great matches with guys like Brent Albright when they were here. You know, it's sad, and it's another example of, you know, what can happen when you go up there and you work for the WWE and that environment, and it's sad. And I'm not even looking for a reason to knock the WWE today, but it just, come on. I mean, seriously, can there not be something done to improve the working conditions in that company on a mental basis? They torture guys, the guys that are qualified, that are talented, that don't get a shot. Then they're always, then they're released and they've been exposed on a worldwide level as you know, something less than a main event star, even though their talent dictates they could be, just because of the, once again, shitty booking. And then, you know, they're left basically to flounder around, and at the age of 29, you know, it's ridiculous. And I know a lot of people want to achieve their dream in professional wrestling, but sometimes, you know, when you be careful what you ask for, because you might get it. And it just seems to me that somebody ought to figure that there might be some correlation between depression and drug problems and working for that company and the way they treat people mentally and physically. But, you know, having said that, obviously it's a loss. Because everybody liked Lance, everybody that was around him, even Bolin, who likes nobody, liked Lance Cade. So, you know, we're going to miss him. He was a great kid with a great future, and it's just, you know, it's sad to see.
A couple of topics that we weren't able to hit on in the last couple of weeks since we haven't been able to have the opportunity to do a show. One of them being Tyler Black has signed with World Wrestling Entertainment.
Well, now, do you know he's put pen to paper, Tommy, or are you just bandying around these suppositions as facts?
Well, I'm just going by what I heard.
Yeah, no.
On the paper.
Tyler Black, basically, you know, is putting his services out for bid, and he's had some nibbles because he's a great talent. As a Ring of Honor champion, he's really increased his profile over the past year. He's had some great matches. And from what's been put out, he is committed, at least in theory, to go up north, but there's this little matter of the Ring of Honor world title that he still holds. And he's got some Ring of Honor commitments coming up, including a high-profile defense on September 11th, but that's not the only commitment that he has left. So now, It's a countdown. We're going to see what happens with the Ring of Honor world title. We're going to see who can snatch it off of him before, if he goes anywhere, or if indeed anybody can. It's going to be interesting, and that's just another reason to watch more Ring of Honor shows.
Absolutely. And speaking of Ring of Honor, stand there for a second. Obviously, big news breaking this past weekend, some big Ring of Honor booking changes. I'm sure that you would assume that would have been brought up on today's show. A lot of people had sent in stuff over the last day or two wanting you to address that here on the show.
Well, you know, all I know is I found out about this late Sunday, early Monday, just about the same time everybody else did. Kerry Silkin, the Ring of Honor owner, has relieved Adam Pearce of the booking duties that he's had for 2 years. From what I understand, it's not any indictment of Adam's booking. He's done a great job. This is one of the best years that Ring of Honor has had, and at the gate. It's just a desire to do something different, a desire to to maybe go in a different direction and maybe do some things. And I'll admit there were maybe some conflicts with personality-wise with Adam and members of the office, but at the same time it was amicable. The door is open. Adam could return at some point. My job doesn't change. Delirious is going to be the head booker, and I'm the kibitzer who interferes in everything. We're all going to pitch in and help a little bit at the start, doing some extra things to make the transition smooth. But I've talked to Adam. We're friends. You know, people who are trying to come up with some kind of scandal or a bunch of people saying fuck you to each other, it hasn't materialized. So they're kind of grasping at straws on the internet.
Bryan Danielson once again reappeared at the WWE SummerSlam pay-per-view this past Sunday. A few listeners sent in questions, want to know your thoughts on Bryan Danielson back in WWE.
Well, you know, we kind of figured that was going to happen. It's just, you know, it's still yet to be explained why that all this had to go on. But for once, the WWE's underhanded shenanigans have made somebody probably a bigger star. So, accidentally, of course. So I'm glad for Bryan Danielson. He should have been there all along. He's a great talent. He's earned his chance. And so at least if it ends up happy, then even though they took a detour, I guess they're back in the right place. I'm glad for Bryan.
Now, wasn't he scheduled to be on upcoming Ring of Honor shows?
Well, he was not. And the reason he was not was simply because we, truthfully, number one, he had a 90-day no-compete, and which is actually, has it even been 90 days yet since they fired him? He had a 90-day no-compete for pay-per-view or television. He's made some of these independent events that didn't conflict with that, but he was not scheduled for anything with Ring of Honor simply because of that, and also because we probably figured that we would not have him for a long time because they would certainly rectify this mistake. So, you know, between the no-compete and not wanting to book ahead and then have to change something, it just never came to pass. Not that we wouldn't have wanted Bryan, but just that we didn't think there was a window there to bring him in and do anything constructive with him before he was probably headed back.
Sure. Now, someone you definitely have for Ring of Honor coming up on your big show in September, and I'm sure you're excited about this, is Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin.
That is going to be a great tag team match. Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin against the Kings of Wrestling, September 11th in New York at the Manhattan Center on the next Ring of Honor internet pay-per-view. You can go to GoFight Live TV to figure out how to order that for only $14.95. I had a hand in training Shelton Benjamin from scratch and Charlie Haas when he was signed to a developmental and sent here to Louisville. Both Charlie and Shelton are tremendous athletes. They've never really gotten a chance to shine in the WWE up to their potential and up to their athletic ability. And that's right up Ring of Honor's alley. So we like to let people shine. So they're, I think, going to let it hang out in New York on September 11th. And the Kings of Wrestling have proven to be the most dominant tag team in Ring of Honor this year, but they may have a little stumbling block. And at the very least, it's going to be a match that a lot of people are going to remember. So I'm looking forward to it.
I know another subject a lot of people want to get your thoughts on, since we didn't be able to do a show the last couple weeks.
You keep getting that dig in, Tommy.
Yeah,
we haven't been able to do that show.
It's my fault.
You're browbeating me.
It's my fault.
Go ahead.
is the ECW angle, and more importantly, the ECW pay-per-view that they did a few weeks back. They wanted your thoughts on the angle itself and them doing the ECW pay-per-view.
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. Well, you know, like I think we did say that that at least TNA had traveled ahead in time from the late 80s to 1997. And, you know, here instead of a bunch of 50-year-old guys, they had a bunch of 40-year-old guys. So they're getting younger. It's ridiculous. Let it. Even people who were associated with the original ECW are now saying, let it die already. Once again, is this a plan for the future? Is TNA Wrestling putting a framework down for the future by going back to all this hardcore bullshit, which I heard the wrestler, I wouldn't watch the thing, except if I had a gun pointed to me and I was tied to a chair, but I read the reviews. Sloppy wrestling, a lot of emotion. Why can't they create that emotion for their young talent that they've been paying and supposed to be building all this time? Sloppy wrestling, overbooked, 10 years behind the times, living in the past with a bunch of guys who contributed greatly to ECW's success, but it's been gone for 9 years now, folks. Can we please move into the future? I feel like I'm stuck in the hot tub time machine. And this time it's not even Vince Russo's time machine. Dixie Carter, they did surveys that said that most of their fans liked ECW. No shit, Sherlock, because most of the fans that will put up with TNA's product are the people who love wrestling and want to see any kind of wrestling and would love for them to be good, but they're not. It's like an abusive relationship. You'd love for the product to be good, but it's not, but you keep going back to it. So, of course, those people that Eric Bischoff himself insults, I wish the right hand knew what the left hand was doing. Don't you? Bischoff is insulting the same kind of wrestling fans that are TNA's primary audience and the same kind of wrestling fans that like ECW because they are wrestling fans, but Bischoff don't like them, and then they present ECW. And, of course, it probably did a better buy rate than their normal, you know, subpar pay-per-view efforts. But the point is, it still does nothing for their future. Half these guys can't wrestle a regular basis. Half these guys have real jobs now. Half these guys just moonlight as wrestlers. And it's just ridiculous. Once again, can anybody explain to me why they have to rehash the same shit over and over again? Oh, wait a minute. I figured it out because they're too stupid to do the good shit. To do new shit any good. So, you know, that's my thought on it. Love a lot of people that were on the show, but probably even some of them would say, wow, you know, yeah. And then, of course, they have the tag team thing where they whack each other with blunt instruments and then they just stop and hug. So it's just they took a big shit on today's wrestling business just like they usually do.
Another thing I want to talk to you about and get your opinion of, I know you don't really follow WWE programming. I know you don't. But I know you know about
There always has to be that disclaimer.
You know about that Nexus angle and how the guys first debuted, and you know you heard it was a really good angle they did initially where they destroyed John Cena and the ring and everything like that, and then they, you know, they dropped the ball the following week. The next week they lay out Vince McMahon, which was a good angle. It was like on again, off again, on again, off again. Now finally, at SummerSlam this past Sunday, they finally had the big match where all these guys took on Team WWE. It was the first real big encounter between this group and the WWE group. And sure enough, what happened at SummerSlam this past Sunday, the WWE group goes over the very first time these two collide. What is your thoughts on that process where you're trying to build these young kids up and make them strong and seem like they're able to compete with the top stars of WWE? And the first time these two teams collide, you have Team WWE go over.
Well, my thought is much of what you would think it is. Number one, you know, at least at this point, I'm glad that somebody under the age of 40 got to main event a pay-per-view. But at the same time, seven young guys all together with the focus being put on the fact that they're young rookies rather than each individual guy. So have you made a star? The only star they made out of the whole thing was Bryan Danielson, and he's the one that they fired. And then you put the guys in their first main event on their first pay-per-view, and they lose. So we had a little four-week program. Oh, we're going to put these guys in the main event, and then we proved that they were losers. So that's, you know, pretty much what you would expect.
Shouldn't booking 101 though say that those guys go over on the WWE?
Well, of course it is, but there's nobody in the WWE on the staff of comedy writers led by that little pimply faced comic book reader. What's his name? Gerwitz.
Yeah.
There's nobody that knows booking 101. They don't even think they're bookers. They think they're writers. They're big TV writers. They're, you know, some of them may even think that they're Pulitzer Prize winning novelists. I don't know. But no, they've never heard of booking 101. As Bill Watts would say, if they were ever in a booking meeting, they would be whistling Stranger in Paradise.
I heard the head writer from the show Alpha is available. They should bring him in.
Yeah, and maybe even they could bring the star in too. Alf versus Cena.
Now, if that was you booking that this past Sunday, obviously the young kids would have dominated the WWE guys, right?
Yes, most assuredly. Although, I taking it back from scratch, I don't know whether I would have put seven of them all together in a match to where that they couldn't really stand out individually, but definitely the young guys would have been winning and beating some people. Maybe not everybody, but most people.
Sure. Anything else on your mind that you'd like to talk about this week?
Oh, golly gee, Tommy, the heat continues. They say there's no global warming. It's been 100 degrees or more in the heat index for about 3 months here in Louisville. And I'm just, I'm still on my diet. I'm down to 223 pounds.
Nice.
Even splurging in Charlotte. And looking forward to September 11th. And also, here's a preview. JimCornette.com is undergoing a massive renovation within the next 2 to 3 weeks. It's going to be a brand new website. It's going to look better. It's going to have more features. It's going to have more merchandise. It's going to have more columns. And it's going to be updated regularly because we know how to do that stuff now. So stay tuned. It won't be as long as it's been. In a couple of weeks, a re-debut, a brand new launch of the all-new JimCornette.com.
Oh, you know what else I want to mention real quick? You got something going on with OVW again, right?
As a matter of fact, we haven't talked about that either. Danny Davis and I are having a tryout camp for OVW talent and also a training seminar for anybody that wants to come on Labor Day weekend, Saturday and Sunday, September 4th and 5th. And you can go to ovwrestling.com to find out how to apply and come down. We're looking to find some more talent because we want to renovate OVW now that there is no perfidious WWE influence involved. And the new fall season of OVW begins on television here in Kentucky in Louisville, Lexington, and London, Kentucky on September 11th. We tape that program at the Davis Arena in Louisville on September the 8th. There's going to be a new matchmaker announced. There's going to be some former favorites returning, some new stars debuting, and also there's going to be an arrangement between Ring of Honor and OVW where Ring of Honor's national television tapings stop by Louisville, including December 9th and 10th, Thursday and Friday, a two-night stand at the Davis Arena. More information on that in the upcoming weeks, but it's going to be fantastic. OVW is on the resurgence.
Very good. And I guess we'll give the fans a special treat on the way out, and I know that I haven't mentioned to you prior to us doing this, but why don't we give you a Jim Cornette fuck you of the week this week to someone? Not to put you on the spot.
Oh my gosh, who do I want to fuck this week? I'm not even sure. Tommy, who's a deserving candidate for a fuck you this week? Let's spread it around a little bit. Somebody we haven't done before.
Several.
Who's been a raging prick in the wrestling business? Actually, there's so many to choose from, so many names running through my mind. How about just a general fuck you to all the people who don't like wrestling and don't like wrestling fans and their general Eric Bischoff?
All right. And as always, make sure you head over to JimCornette.com. Like Jim said, a lot of great things coming up in the upcoming weeks there. And we'll be back next week, hopefully, with a new edition of Cornette's Commentary. And Jim will be down to 221 come next week.
Well, I've got the weekend in Philly, and the Philly Diner is right there. So I don't know. I may be stagnant for a couple of weeks. But thanks, Tommy. And we will do a show next week just because we can't stay away for that much longer.
All right, Jim. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Thanks, Tommy.
Take care.
Bye-bye.